Our second scripture lesson comes from the 77th Psalm, verses 1 through 3 and 11 through 20. I cry aloud to God, that God may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid, the very deep troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies thundered, your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hands of Moses and Aaron. This is the word of the Lord. The great Reformed theologian John Calvin, in his commentary on the Psalms, described the book this way: it is an anatomy of all the parts of the human soul. What people of faith through the centuries have loved most about the Psalms is their openness, their deep honesty about both despair and hope. There are very good reasons why our Bibles turn open easily to the Psalms in times of grief and pain. There are good reasons why the Psalms provide the primary reading material for hospital bedsides, family waiting rooms, and memorial services. The Psalms do not conceal. They do not sugarcoat. They do not disguise raw emotions from their readers. Nor do they seek to convey some sort of spotless faithfulness. The overused and underexplained cliches and platitudes of television preachers will not stand up to the scrutiny of the psalmist, because the psalmist lives in the real world, where hearts are broken and things fall apart and God does not always seem present. The psalmist lives where simplistic faith cannot resist tidal waves of doubt and uncertainty. Whoever the author was who penned this morning's psalm wrote from the real world of exile. It is a place we all know from our own experience. When the Bible speaks of the pain of exile, it refers not only to decades of captivity in Babylon. Exile is the place of alienation from God and homeland. It describes feelings of separation and despair. Exile is waking up in the middle of the night with the sinking feeling that tomorrow will bring no relief. Exile is a day after day routine that brings no spark of joy or contentment or satisfaction. Exile is the reality of life separated from deep meaning or purpose. I just feel like I'm going through the motions, watching life pass me by. I have to admit, I was surprised to hear a young, successful, bright person speak those words. From the outside looking in, my friend had achieved everything imaginable, a career on the fast track, plenty of friends, a beautiful home, and loving family. But the trick exile plays on us is that exile does not look in from the outside. Exile finds its way into the soul, and there it takes up residence. Many of us have known the feelings that my friend described, just going through the motions, watching life pass me by. Emptiness, meaningless routine, separation from passion and God and large purpose. And so from the perspective of exile, the psalmist makes his plea, I cry aloud to God. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. My soul refuses to be comforted. The prayer gives voice to the anger of exile. Unsure that God is even listening, the psalmist prays anyway. What else should he do? But the cries of doubt, the cries of pain, are signs of faith. I have in my study a recording of the sermon preached by the well-known minister William Sloan Coffin just 2 weeks after he lost his 24-year-old son Alex in a terrible automobile accident. What is so powerful about the sermon, which Coffin titled Alex's Death, is the honesty and raw emotion with which Coffin preached it. From his own residence in exile, Coffin stood to offer a psalm of lament. That bitter January morning in 1983, he spoke these words from the pulpit of the Riverside Church in New York. I know all the right biblical passages, including blessed are those who mourn. I know these passages are true, but the point is this. While the words of the Bible are always true, grief renders them unreal. The reality of grief is the absence of God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reality of grief is the solitude of pain, the feeling that your heart is in pieces, your mind is blank, that in the words of Byron, there is no joy the world can give like that it takes away. Sometimes, the deepest form of faith is honest and open lament. These Psalms of Lament give us a picture of trust so strong that it can handle truth. Whether this psalm is the voice of one exiled individual or an entire community of faith, the intensity of the language is a sure sign of relationship. We cannot be truly upset with someone who is only a passing acquaintance. The kind of lament that the psalmist pours out requires a faith in God that runs deep. Deeper than either naive praise or shallow dismissal. We can be neither naive nor shallow when the relationship is deep. And it is this relationship that forms the foundation for the turning point in the psalm. It comes in verse 11. And you really can't miss the change in tone. The lament turns to praise. The poem moves from the harsh, hard days of exile to a vision of wholeness and security and home. So what happened? Perhaps the exiles were released from captivity mid-psalm. But no, physical freedom is still a great distance away. The cause of this change is not physical. It is a shift in perspective. The psalmist moves from lamenting his present condition to remembering God's faithfulness in the past. In remembering the God who had acted in the past, God's chosen people discovered that this is the same God who would act in the present as well. The hope of a new day is rooted in memory. All theology is grounded in memory. God has brought us this far. And God will lead us on. In a time of transition and change in the life of this congregation, as your pastor nominating committee continues its prayerful discernment and active searching, I think this is a good word for Morningside. Remember, the psalmist says, the God who is preparing the next chapter of this church's life is the very same God who has been faithful and constant in the journey to this point. Remembering how God has blessed Morningside with new life, new vision, new members, new energy for mission and ministry, we need not fear what is to come. God will remain vigilant. God does have a plan for Morningside. And God has a plan for all of us as well. The prophet Isaiah implores the community of faith to remember and declare this good news that God has placed on the prophet's lips. My purpose shall stand, and I will fulfill my intentions. If you need proof, just remember the road that has led you this far. Psalm 77 is a witness to the power of memory to drive a community forward. But what I cannot say is that Psalm 77 is a promise of comfort and ease for God's faithful followers. Contrary to much contemporary preaching, faith is not a ticket to life without pain. In recent weeks, I have spent a great deal of time with members and friends of this community who find themselves in various forms of exile. And over again, I am inspired and humbled by their sense of hope and their defiant conviction that God has not abandoned them, but rather is walking with them through the flames. Believe me, theirs is not a faith untested by the pain of exile, not a simplistic idealism posing as Christian faith. Theirs is a relationship with God that has been through the fires of testing and has lifted more than one cry of lament. But God does not carry us around the storms of life. Listen again to the psalm. Your way, O God, was through the sea. Your path was through the churning waters. This powerful psalm closes in an interesting way. After praising God for powerful past actions, focusing on the active intervention of the divine into our human world, the poem concludes with a reference to two human leaders, very much human. By the hand of Moses and Aaron, God has led you through exile. By the hand of Moses and Aaron? Perhaps the psalmist closes in this way to provide a poignant reminder that God most often comes to us thinly veiled in the actions and words and prayers and thoughts of other human beings. Just when we think that all hope is lost and the pain of exile is too much to bear, the phone rings. And a kind voice on the other end of the line says something like, "You know, for some reason I was just thinking of you, and I thought I would call and check in." Through the hand of Moses and Aaron, you have led us through the churning waters. When I arrived at the office on Monday morning, I read an email from one of the saints of this church. It read, and this is why you don't send me emails, because it might be read from the pulpit. This early Monday email read, "Hi, Chris. Just wanted to let you know that flowers were delivered to the following." And then there appeared a list of folks who had received flowers and a list of folks who delivered them after church last Sunday. The email got me thinking about the story behind those flowers. You might remember, they were given by dozens of members of the church and friends of the congregation in honor or memory of fathers and grandfathers and father figures. They were carefully chosen and then conditioned by members of the Morningside Flower Guild. They were arranged by a member who uses his remarkable talent in service to the church. They were enjoyed in the chancel by all who were here for worship last Sunday. Then more saints of the church stood right here after worship and broke down the arrangement. And still more saints took vases of flowers and delivered them all over Greater Atlanta and right down the street. Now, 1 week later, Those flowers have brought a sense of joy and hope to those who weren't able to be here last Sunday and to all who were. But even more important than those gorgeous flowers is the sense of community that they embody. The message that someone cares enough to make the trip to deliver flowers. The isolation of exile. The feelings of separation and division. The isolation of exile is no match for the love of a true community of faith. When the psalmist remembers how God used Moses and Aaron to guide the people of God out of Egypt and into the promised land, he also called to mind those whom God is using right now for the exact same purpose. We have all been blessed to know a Moses or an Aaron in our own times of exile. By the hand of Moses and Aaron, you led us through the churning waters. In the midst of exile, after crying out with words of lament and disappointment, the psalmist puts that behind him and he remembers. And the seeds of new hope are planted in the fertile ground of memory. As a pastor, my greatest privilege is to walk alongside families and individuals in moments of great pain and joy. One of the most blessed experiences of ministry is watching, observing, as lament is transformed to hope through the power of memory. The best example is how it happens without fail at the reception following a funeral service. We gather in the fellowship hall. Words of condolence and sympathy, tears of sadness and grief fill the room as the family begins to receive guests. And then at some point, unpredictable, the faint sound of laughter can be heard in that sad room. It grows slowly, picking up steam as people greet one another and share a cup of punch. The source of the laughter is inevitably the sharing of stories. Do you remember when she got her first television and wouldn't turn it on for months? Do you remember when we drove all the way to California and stopped at every odd landmark on the way? She was just that way. Remember when the entire family was together the last time? Remember that time we all got matching tacky t-shirts? Remember when, and almost without anyone noticing, lament has turned to hope, grief has turned to joy, tears are transformed to laughter by the overwhelming power of memory and the blessed gift of community. Memory and community work together to transform lament to hope. I love those moments. The sacredness of that moment. Well, it's impossible to describe from the outside looking in. You just have to live it. You just have to give thanks to God and remember when.